I'm speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama by meditating on these names of Vishnu, or through the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushan, Krishna. We can enter into a meditation on what is it about him that makes him Bhagavan. Now, several of these names, they are not very well known, just like we just had one named Kshobhana. That's not very well known. That's the name just before. But the next few names are all well-known names. Name 377. Very well known. The name is Deva. Deva means God. It's the common meaning. In English, God can be spelled with a capital G or a lowercase g. In German, what's the word? Gott, something. Always with capital. There are lots of capitals. Even if it's a little god. Even little gods are big gods in Germany. If anyone believes in any god. But we're in Switzerland, not in Germany. But it's the same. Culturally, it's very similar. Same language in northern Germany, yeah. God in English can mean the big one and little ones also. Regional gods, Greek gods, Norse gods, Roman gods. Well, Deva, of course, in Sanskrit, there's no uppercase and lowercase letters. But Deva can mean the big god and little gods also. So Deva means Krishna. And we can also refer to Indradev, Chandradev, and so on. But really it means, in the full and complete sense, must refer to Vishnu. Maybe not even Krishna, yeah, but if we take Krishna in Vrindavan, they don't see him so much as the big god. This usage is there in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna says, for this term Deva comes up, Deva or Devata. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Krishna points out in the verse that I just quoted that even those, api means even, in the sense of even though, although, those who worship different gods, those who are devotees of other gods, and who worship them with faith, Krishna says, they actually worship me. And then people say, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, it's all the same. But Krishna then says, but they do so not according to the proper system. We also find in Gita, Krishna says, antavattu palantang tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam. Antavattu, yeah, those who worship different demigods, they're less intelligent. There are many such statements. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna refers to Krishna as Deva Deva, God among gods. And there's a similar term. Devati Deva means the God who is above the other gods. So Deva, the meaning of the term, it literally means to shine, who is effulgent. We see also that someone who becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or someone who is spiritually advanced, they shine. Even in the sun, everyone's body is shining. One has to be a pious person to enter the sun. Other meanings, so yeah, obviously Krishna is the brightest of all. Yadaditya gato teja. Krishna says that the brilliance of the sun, that comes from me. We hear that Mother Yashoda would take the jewels away from Krishna so that he couldn't go into the dark storehouses where the gopis are keeping butter. Because the jewels, they also have some inherent shining power. But Krishna himself, his body is so bright that he illuminates the dark place. And of course he can see in the dark also. So Krishna is shining, he's the brightest of the bright. Another meaning is to conquer. Obviously, the Supreme Lord conquers everything and everyone. How he conquers? Well, there are various ways. By fighting is one way, but in Brahma Samhita we hear that ananda chinmaya rasamataya manasu ya praninang pratipalan smaratam upetya dilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Dilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram means he incessantly conquers this world by his pastimes. His pastimes, they show this material world to be insignificant. And another important meaning of deva is one who sports, who has pastimes. Sports not in the meaning of football and all these kind of sports, but who enjoys pastimes. So, in this way, he conquers the enemies of the gods. He is the shining in all living beings. Every living being shines to some extent or other. When the soul leaves the body, there's a definite difference. Apart from measuring the brain waves, the respiratory function, the circulatory functions, they all stop. Maybe not immediately. But apart from that, the luster of a person, if they're alive, even if they're very dull, very dull means if you smoke and drink and have bad thoughts, then you become very dull, not very bright. But even that, some measure, when such a person dies, that brightness goes away. So that the brightness of the Atma is a tiny manifestation of the brightness of the Paramatma, Krishna. So he enjoys pastimes. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning of this name that, yeah, he enjoys transcendental pastimes. One other meaning of deva, one who is praised. So we find that, yeah, those who are devas, this term is given just like Indradev, Chandradev. There can also be for respectable persons in this world. The king, there used to be kings, the king would be called Naradev. The brahmanas are called Bhudev, gods on earth. Krishna himself is called Brahmanyadev. He is worshipped by the brahmanas. From the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gurdhaha. There's only one real Deva, only one God, who is very subtly present, not very easily seen, but he is within every living being. So that's a little look at the name Deva, a very common name. Oh, the next name is not so very well known. But then we'll go to another name after that, which is even better known than Deva, maybe. So you can wonder what that is as we go to name 378. Sri Garbha. Sri means opulence, that which is auspicious, and also means Lakshmi, also means Radha, and Garbha means womb. So the meaning of this is that he has within him all auspicious qualities. And they manifest from him. Just like a child in the womb of the mother manifests, so all good qualities manifest from him. They as if take birth from him. Of course, he's eternally the abode of all auspicious qualities. It's not that at any particular time they start to become manifest. They're always inherent in him. And he always has Lakshmi with him. He always has Radha with him in Krishna Leela. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he is the proprietor of all the opulence in the universe, and he showed to Mother Yashoda when she looked in his mouth, twice this is recorded it happened, then she saw all the opulence of the universe within Krishna. So it's not just metaphorical that all the opulence of the universe is within Krishna, but as Mother Yashoda saw, the whole universe is within Krishna. That would make a good scientific theory. We could give that to the atheists. The whole universe is within Krishna. Try and work that one out. Sri, Lakshmi, and Radha. I mean, Garbha means, which is completely internal, so Radha and Krishna, in that sense, it can be understood, inseparable. Lakshmi and Narayan, inseparable. Radha, Krishna, Pranaya, Vikriti, Haladinir, Shakti, Rasmad, Ekatmana, Vapi, Bhuvipura, Deha, Bhedam, Gatau, Tau. In the pranam mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's stated that the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are a manifestation of his pleasure potency. And although Radha and Krishna are one, they manifest as two to enjoy pastime. So that again brings us to Deva, who's having pastimes. So in his pastimes, it's not just him, but there must be his devotees, and Shakti, and is always with Shaktiman. So Radha is with Krishna. She's inseparable from him. So the commentators say that he's inseparably united with Lakshmi. That's the meaning of Sri Garbha. And this name comes with Deva because in his pastimes, in his play as Deva, he has Lakshmi always as his companion. That's a very, going back to Deva then, so it means, it's generally taken to mean God, but it also means who performs pastimes, who plays. So God is understood not so much in terms of how he conquers, but how he plays. Who's the biggest enjoyer is God. Not the biggest conqueror. Well, he's also the biggest conqueror. But the fact that he enjoys most means that he's God. And the imitation gods, Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi, They like to think, I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. But that is actually Krishna. He's the controller and the enjoyer. And in his enjoyment, he always has, as Krishna, he always has Radha with him, as Vishnu always has Lakshmi with him. All glories are within him. They're also inseparable from him. All auspiciousness, all divine qualities, they're inseparable from Krishna. Another way in which he is like the womb of the universe is that he himself enters into each universe and enters into each entity within the universe. So in this way, he's like the womb of the universe. It's a miracle that how the child forms within the womb. One may make some scientific analysis, but how it happens, it's amazing how we understand from modern science or from Srimad Bhagavatam that the secretions of the male and female mix, and from one cell gradually develops into an extremely complex mechanism called the human body. So we may explain it scientifically, this happens, that happens, but you can't fully explain it scientifically. Why should that happen? How can that happen? They'll say by evolutionary theory, which is a terrible theory. It's even though it's so widely accepted in the world today, but it's a really very poor theory, which one doesn't have to be a great scientist to understand. It's a very, very poor idea that just by non-directed interactions of chemicals, life as we perceive it exists. Very, very poor idea. Very so even any body, even of an ant, is so complex. What to speak of their psychology? Even the psychology of an ant is so complex. To say that it's simply come about by non-directed interactions of chemicals, it's a really, really poor theory. Not poor, it's just absurd. And we can see the power of Maya, that people who think that they are very well-educated, and they think that this is not only plausible, but it must be like that. Very poor idea. Krishna is the life of all life. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu, he says in Bhagavad Gita. So, the next name, name 379, I said it's also a very well-known name. The name is Parameshwara. That's very well known, isn't it? Generally, that's taken to mean Lord Shiva. Well, among worshippers of Lord Shiva, they take that to be Lord Shiva, especially among the Tamil people. Parameshwara. Parama means the supreme. Ishvara means the controller. Or actually means one who has opulence. Aishvarya, Ishvara. So, yeah, especially among Tamils, that term, and Mayavadis, that term is applied to Shiva. So, okay, all right, Shiva, we can call him Parameshwara, no problem. But in the full sense of the term, this word must apply to Vishnu. Shiva, even this name, the full sense of the term, that means Vishnu. Because Shiva means auspicious. Shankara also means auspicious, who makes auspiciousness. In the proper sense of the term, that name belongs to Vishnu. Now, how can we say, How can we say Shiva is Parameshwara and Vishnu is also Parameshwara? There should only be one. Param means supreme, means mataparataram nanyat kinchid asti. There's no one equal to or above. So how can Shiva be supreme? Well, it's a matter of perspective. For people whose perspective does not go beyond the material world, then they'll see Shiva as supreme, because he's overseeing this material world. His wife, actually. He's busy meditating and she's busy doing the Shrishti Stiti Pralay. She's Parameshwari, the female counterpart of the Supreme Controller. So, yeah, he's supreme in the vision of those who don't know better. And it's true within the matter of the universal affairs, he's supreme. It's something like this. If a person lives in a village in the pre-industrial age, they may think that the headman in the village is supreme, because they never went outside their village and they don't know anything beyond it. And as in their world, the village headman is supreme. And that's all they need to know. They don't need to know about Bern being the capital of Switzerland. All they need to know is that we live on the side of this mountain of 20 houses spread out. This is our village. And in this village, in Switzerland, it's more like a democratic tradition, isn't it? Anyway, you get the example. The eldest man should be considered the most authoritative. So that's all. Someone living in the village, they never go outside the village, and they might have heard that there's something on the other side of the mountain, but they don't care too much, because what do they need to know about it for anyway? And that's all they know, and that's all they need to know. From the moment they're born until they die. Actually, they need to know about Krishna, but in terms of their day-to-day life in this world, for them, that's it. That's all they know. So, for people who think that this world is all in all, and there are many of them, most of the conditioned souls don't know about the spiritual world, and they don't want to know. So, their vision goes as far as Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva. And they consider him the supreme controller. So, all right, we can accept. But, if we can extend our vision a little further, that means if we get news from beyond Kailash, then we can learn that Lord Shiva is meditating, which suggests that he's not the Supreme Controller, because the Supreme Controller is Deva. He's playing, not meditating. He's playing, he's having fun. So, Shiva is meditating on Vishnu. There was a time in Tamil Nadu when you could get killed for saying that. They wanted to kill Ramanuja for saying that. That King Krimi Bhoj, what's his name? Krimi Kanta. He wanted to kill Ramanuja because Ramanuja said Shiva is not supreme and Vishnu is supreme. Now, Krishna is the supreme controller. That's clear. There's one verse by Yamuna Acharya, guru of Ramanuja, which states this, which I'm just not remembering now, which I don't remember the Sanskrit. It's quoted in Srila Prabhupada's Gita commentary. That's one of the names of Vishnu Sahasranam. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanya. Everything about him proves that he is the Supreme. But persons who are of demoniac mentality, they don't recognize it. Everything about him, all the shastras in the mode of goodness, all the great personalities in the mode of goodness, they all declare Vishnu is supreme, but those who are demoniac, they don't recognize it. So Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Now, there are so many. From the Vedas, Shvetashvatra Upanishad, Tvam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. There are many Ishvaras, there are many controllers. But the supreme controller, if we go up, there's the village headman, and then there's someone in the local town who's the head of all the villages in that area. Then in Switzerland, I guess, there's head of one canton. Oh, there's a board, isn't it, in each canton? So they don't have the headman system. It's unusual. And then one person, head of the country, and then all the different countries are fighting with each other to see who'll be the biggest and the best. Well, they're not all fighting. Switzerland's not fighting. They just sit and let everyone else fight, and they take the money from everyone. More intelligent. Let the others fight. So, another meaning of Parameshwara. Generally, that name is understood to mean Parama Ishvara. But it can also be taken to mean Parama Ishvara. It means a long A at the end, which makes it feminine. And feminine supreme means Radha or Lakshmi. So the Lord of Lakshmi or Radha. So it can be understood in that way also, which the commentators, the Vaishnav commentators, they like to emphasize that, especially the Sri Vaishnavas. Especially the Tengalai, they're very much prone to Lakshmi. Just like in Gauriya Vaishnav culture, the devotees, they're prone to Radha, even above Krishna. So in the certain Sri Vaishnavas, they like to, not to exalt, some of them may do, but not, most of them won't exalt Lakshmi above Vishnu, but they put on the same level. And they always emphasize how they are mutually interdependent, and Vishnu has to be understood in relationship to Sri, which is the name they generally like to use rather than Lakshmi. They like to use the name Sri. Or in Tamil language, that Tayar. So, Parameshwara means the one who is connected with this supremely auspicious. Sri means auspicious. She who is most auspicious. She is Sri. Of course, Sri is also a name for Vishnu, but it's generally connected with Lakshmi. So, he becomes Sri Krishna, means Radha Krishna. He becomes actually auspicious by his association with Radha, or Sri Narayana, Sriman Narayana. He becomes auspicious by his association with Lakshmi. And yeah, Parameshwara Baladev Vidyabhushan says he is the master of Srimati Radharani, the supreme Lakshmi. So the next two names, the commentators, they comment on them together because they're very similar names, Karanam and Karanam. So, K Karanam means the means, the instrument, the means of effecting something. And Karanam means the cause. So they're very similar in meaning. Karanam, there are various levels of Karanam. There's the instrumental cause is just like in making a pot. We can say that the potter is the or the machine is the instrument by which the pot is made. And then there's the material cause, the clay. And beyond that, there's the cause. Why is the potter making the pot? Well, he wants to make money to support his family. And then beyond that, why does he desire like that? And we go back to Krishna. So the ultimate cause, sarva karana karanam, is Krishna. That karanam means kriyate anena iti karanam. That by which or through whom an act is done. So ultimately everything is done via Krishna. Man proposes and God disposes. We can't actually do anything without his sanction. Therefore, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Everything that we do is effected via the various factors of action, via the modes of material nature. So one who thinks, I am the doer, independent doer, is a big fool, egoistic fool. Why is that? Because we can't do without higher sanction. That's why, if we're to say something, well, tomorrow I will go to London, we could say, just theoretically. But we don't know. We can't say for sure. There are so many, even if we have a ticket booked, we made all plans, but you don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. Until it happens, it may sound like a tautology, but until it's happened, it hasn't happened. So we can't say it will happen. We can't say for sure. Because there are so many factors at work, which ultimately, ultimate factor is daiva, or the administration of deva, the Supreme Lord. That's why we may say, tomorrow I will go to London, Krishna willing. That's better to say like that. Inshallah, in Islam, they say, means the same thing. If Allah lets it happen. Because he is the ultimate cause. We can't go against that. He's the ultimate controller. He's the ultimate cause. If we are to do something, he's the ultimate cause. So a wise person doesn't take credit. He doesn't think, well, I'm doing so many wonderful things. We should think, a cultured person thinks that if I'm doing something which is praiseworthy, that is due to the mercy of others, because my parents trained me in such and such a way, my teachers trained me, my guru trained me, and ultimately that's all coming from Krishna. Talking about deva, we also speak of Pitridev, Matridev, father and mother. They're also to be considered like gods. Of course, they should act in a godly way. If they don't act in a godly way, then it's very difficult to see them as gods. Pati Deva, the wife sees the husband as God. The husband addresses the wife as Devi, goddess. So in this culture, we see that. We don't think that, I'm doing so many things. It's a wrong understanding. We should try to act to the best of our ability, to do our duty, what should be done. But we should understand that the result is dependent on Krishna. But we can't turn it around the other way, and if we do something bad and say, well, actually the cause is Krishna. if we do something good, we will be praised, but a wise person gives the credit or doesn't take the credit for himself. But if there's something wrong, he's done something wrong, he should take the blame. A materialistic person will blame anything that goes wrong on someone else, and anything good that happens, he won't acknowledge that others were factors in that also. I couldn't have done it without the help of others. Understanding these names from Vishnu Sahasranama, that helps us to see everything in proper perspective. Who are we in relationship to Krishna? So even to get knowledge of Krishna or knowledge of anything, we have the knowledge acquiring senses, gyanendriya, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the skin, the tongue, by which we get knowledge of this world. But that is only possible through the agency of Krishna. Or even if we perceive something, unless we receive knowledge from the Vedas, Vedic knowledge, we will misperceive it. Just like everyone perceives this world, but everyone sees it wrongly. How is that? We see it wrongly? What does that mean? We see a straight building as being crooked? No, not exactly, but with the wrong consciousness. Everything, we should see everything in this world as produced by Krishna, meant to be used in Krishna's service. That's called yukta vairagya. Anasaktasya vishaya yathaham upayanjataha nibandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. Proper renunciation, proper detachment, is that in which one is not attached to anything but sees everything as paraphernalia for serving Krishna and uses everything for serving Krishna. But a materialist sees everything in this world as meant for my own enjoyment. So when a materialist sees something that he thinks is nice for my enjoyment, he thinks, oh, very good, very nice. But a devotee just sees how everything can be engaged in Krishna's service. So we see differently. Although the materialist and the devotee sees the world, the vision is the same. But the understanding of it is different. So those who are non-devotees, they do not see that Krishna is behind everything. And that whatever we can do, it's only via His mercy, by the power that He invests in us. He is Hrishikesh, the Lord of the senses. So even if we have very good powers of perception, we should know that's also coming from Him. Everything is coming from Him. We are powerless without Him. Apart from the senses, there's the mind, the intelligence. Everything is ultimately under His control. Shankaracharya, he takes karanam in this context to mean the primary cause and karanam as the supplementary cause. So in all stages, the interaction within what's going on in this world, it's so many different interactions at the atomic level. Different atoms interact with each other. Within molecules, just like, for instance, you eat some rice, and within the stomach, the acids, they interact with that. So at that level, there's interaction. There's interaction of different living beings. Humans, they may cooperate with each other or fight with each other. Or one living being may eat another living being. It's all interaction. And it's all affected by Krishna, ultimately. How does it all go on? Jagat, gachatiti jagat. That which is always moving, like a kaleidoscope. It's always moving and changing. That is the world. So the change is affected by Krishna, and the non-change is also affected by Krishna. The steady principle by which the world remains the world, by which all of reality remains one coherent whole, that is all Krishna. So both the sameness of the world, which never changes, and the details of the world, which constantly change, and behind it all is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of these names as follows. Karanam, he is the master of the devotees, helping them attain perfection in bhakti yoga. I don't have the analysis of the Sanskrit to how he gives this meaning. And Karanam, he created this material world using his three internal potencies, Hladini, Sandhini, and Samvit. Hare Krishna. All right, so I won't say anything more about this just now. It's quite a philosophical dose. If anyone has any question, you can ask now. Yeah, please. Yes, yeah, there also. There's Shri, Bhu, Nila, Lila, Pravi, Yoga. There are different potencies. The principal ones are Shri, Nila, Ila, Lila, Bhu. Yeah, Bhu. Number two is Bhu. So there are many. That's recognized. There are many potencies, but Shri is the principal and the fountainhead of them all. Yeah. Bhu is Bhumi, Satyabhama, Vishnupriya. They're all Bhu Shakti, one of the wives of the Lord. You can see that list of names is there. Shri, Bhu, Ila, Lila, Nila, Yoga, Jnana, Kriya, Prahvi. These are all primary potencies of the Supreme Lord, who has unlimited potencies. Anything else? Utkarshani is another one. Jnana, there's so many. Vishnu Sahasranam, well, it's supposed to be 1,000. It's not exactly 1,000, but it's like in South India, there are many temple halls with 1,000 pillars. And none of them have exactly 1,000. So it's more or less 1,000.
So I would say that
What are the most special? Well, it depends who you are. Sri Vaishnavas, they take their name Narayana to be the most important. And Gauriya Vaishnavas, they will take the names Krishna, Govinda, Madhava, these names. Depends on perspective. But these names, the name Krishna actually encompasses all other names because it means all attractive. So he's attractive by his qualities, and these different names, they describe his different qualities. So Krishna is the ultimate name. Supreme, what is the supreme name? It's not exactly measurable, but the well, Shastra states there's that what is that? Rama Rameti Rameti Rame Rama Manorame Sahasra Nama Tulyabis Rama Nama Varanane. That comes at the end of Vishnu Sahasranama, that Lord Shiva says to his wife that, Rama, 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 I like to say Rama. I take great pleasure in saying that name. It's equivalent to 1,000 names. And then there's another verse that says that three names of Rama is equivalent to one name of Krishna. So yeah, some devotees are devotees of Vamana, some are devotees of Ramachandra, some like to see him as Narayan, some like to see him as Dwarakadhish. So, according to the understanding in opulence, then Narayana should be the supreme name. But if in terms of sweetness, then Krishna. Krishna Govinda. And actually in terms of opulence also. But we're not going to argue about these things. Gopis say Yashoda Nanda, but they also say names like Vishnu. If you find it, if you see the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, you'll find the gopis also refer to him as Vishnu. So it's not that the name Vishnu is banned from Vrindavan. It's also known. Oh, it is. The name Vishnu is there, and you'll find in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Anyway, there's no. I don't think there's any point in having any. See, I spend a lot of time in South India, and my policy with this is that if anyone comes up with this, I'm not going to argue with you. If you like to worship Narayana as supreme, we're very happy because that's what we're going all over the world asking people to worship Narayana as supreme. So our argument is with the atheists and the demons. If you want to worship Narayana as supreme, wonderful, first class. We don't have any argument. But if you want to discuss in a friendly way, we'll say that according to Rasa Vichar, according to Tattva Vichar, we may see Narayana as supreme. According to Rasa Vichar, then we have to accept Krishna as supreme. That's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he discussed this with the Sri Vaishnavas in Sri Rangam, but he didn't try to hammer on their heads, but he had a discussion. That's all. And he showed that actually Krishna is supreme. But he didn't, it wasn't a matter of that he was trying to defeat them, or, as with the Mayavadis, for instance, with Savapam Bhattacharya and with Prakashananda Saraswati. The discussion was conducted in a completely different way. Choose your enemies wisely. Don't make enemies out of Vaishnavas. Yeah, yeah. How is the explanation that Srimati Radharani is higher than Krishna? There is no explanation. It's beyond explanations. Jogira dhyan nirvishesh gyan ekane na paistiti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that mental speculation and yogi's meditation, it has no place here. Here where means this, what is that? Swarasiki siddhi braja gopiya dhan paramachanchala shati. Nirvishesh gyan jogira dhyan ekane na paistiti. Talking about the particular love of the gopis, a particular mood of each individual gopi by which they serve Krishna, it's both extremely unchaste and extremely chaste at the same time. And as far as the analyzing with speculative knowledge and non-differentiated knowledge and yogis' meditation, it says no entrance here whatsoever. How is Radha supreme? Well, when they fight, she wins. When they argue, he said, I'm Vrindavanath. And she said, no, I'm Vrindavaneshwari. And then he was put to the test. She won. But this is the ultimate level to be aspired for. It's good to know this and to discuss this, but it's also realistic to understand that we have a long way to go. The journey to Vrindavan begins with chanting Hare Krishna, controlling the mind and senses, following sadhana, all these things. So we should look up, but also realize that we have a lot of work down here to do. We can't take a pole vault into the Rasa Leela. We can't hammer down the doors and say, I'm coming. It's by invitation only. Entrance by invitation only. Ultimately, there's no sadhana that will take us there. It's only by her mercy she will let us in. That when one has the mood of wanting to serve Radha and Krishna completely, when it completely takes over one's being, then one may be invited there, if there's no duplicity there. But when I say there's no sadhana, well, there is sadhana. We have to follow that. But we have to understand that all this sadhana is just to attract the mercy. We're ultimately dependent on the mercy of Krishna, of Hari Guru and Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai. Hare Krishna.